Good evening, everyone. Is everyone else very warm? Yes, very warm. Not just me. Okay, not just me. That's good. Please feel free, if you do need to get water or anything, like Bethany's demonstrating, please do. Because it's very hot. It's a lovely evening, summer evening. Delighted to be given another opportunity to open up God's Word. If you don't know me, I am still very much learning the craft. I was saying to Elijah, just as I was getting set up, this is maybe about the third or fourth time I've preached here at Calderwood, a couple of times down at Bells Hill, and some time when I was the youth worker at Prestwick, and some of the South Ayrshire churches. So this evening we are in the second of our encounters with Jesus. So last week we looked at John the Baptist and his encounter with Jesus. Tonight, we are looking at the encounter that Nathanael had. So John chapter 1 is where we're going. If you've got your Bibles. And we're taking it from verse 33 down to 51. So this is what John's Gospel says this. The next day, Jesus decided to go to Galilee. He found Philip and said to him, "Follow me." Now Philip was from Bethsaida, the city of Andrew and Peter. Philip found Nathanael and said to him, "We have found him of whom Moses and the law and also the prophets wrote, Jesus of Nazareth, the son of Joseph." Nathanael said to him, "Can anything good come out of Nazareth?" Philip said to him, "Come and see." Jesus saw Nathanael coming toward him and said of him, "Behold, an Israelite indeed, in whom there is no deceit." Nathanael said to him, "How do you know me?" Jesus answered him, "Before Philip called you, when you were under the fig tree, I saw you." Nathanael answered him, "Rabbi, you are the Son of God. You are the King of Israel." Jesus answered him, "Because I said to you, I saw you under the fig tree, do you believe? You will see greater things than these." And he said to him, "Truly, truly, I say to you, you will see heaven opened and the angels of God ascending and descending on the Son of Man." Let me pray. Father God, Lord, we thank you for your goodness, Lord. We thank you for your love, for your grace, and for your mercy. Father, we thank you that we can gather here like this tonight. Lord, help us to hear from you by your Holy Spirit through your word. Father, let us see what an encounter with Jesus means for each and every one of us. So, Father, we thank you and we ask that you would bless this time now in Jesus' name. Amen. So the plan is to explore this passage in three sections, focusing on descriptions or titles that Jesus has given from three different people. So we're going to look at Philip's description of Jesus, we're going to look at Nathanael's description of Jesus, and we're going to look at Jesus' description of himself. But before we do that, can you look back in your life and remember the point where you had a serious encounter with Jesus? Has your life been transformed by a particular point when you had a serious encounter with Jesus? Now, for some of us, that might be very easy to think, yes, absolutely. Sometimes quite dramatic, sometimes not. But then sometimes it takes a long time, even from childhood, there's always been a biblical teaching or a biblical foundation within the home. So sometimes it's not as obvious for others, but sometimes people very clearly know that when they had their encounter with Jesus, i.e. reading the Bible or at a Christian event, that they know that that was their turnaround moment. So if you can, think back to when you had that encounter. I don't know if you know, but on Thursday nights, we run the point over at Hunter House for primary 6 through to S2. I don't know if you know why we called it the point. The aim of the point, as we hope, if you were to attend as a primary 6, you would travel with us to second year. And when you were older, you would look back on your life and you would see that was the point where something clicked, where something was grasped of the goodness of Jesus. That's why we call the point, exactly. It might not be for you, obviously, if you're not in primary six through to S2. But my hope is either tonight, this could be your encounter with Jesus if you do not already know him. It's our prayer as a Holiday Club team that this week, many children who have been with us would look back and remember, oh, I remember that year. Remember that year it was the Wonder Zone and we looked at creatures of the world, wonders of the universe, possibilities of robots, and the joy of discovery of knowing Jesus. That's why we do what we do for Holiday Club, for the youth Holiday Club we put on, and also why we run the ministries that we run throughout the year. But for Nathaniel, he would vividly have remembered this encounter that we've just read from. His encounter with Jesus changed his life. He knew exactly the point in his life he discovered who Jesus was. It was actually within the first week of Jesus' public ministry. So as I said, we're part of a series here. Last week, Cal took us through the encounter with John the Baptist. And that happened day one, two, and three of Jesus' first week in public ministry revolved around John the Baptist. So day one, you could say that John the Baptist witnesses Jesus. And then day two, you can say that John the Baptist encountered Jesus. And then day three, John the Baptist's referral of disciples over to Jesus occurred. And then day four of the first week of Jesus' public ministry, we have Andrew's introduction to his brother Peter with Jesus, if that makes sense. So day four, Andrew and Peter know Jesus. And then the very next day, we've got our encounter that we have this evening, the recruitment of Philip and Nathaniel. And then if you know John's gospel, day seven is the wedding at Cana. So we're going to look at Philip, who Philip, or what Philip says Jesus is. And Philip says Jesus is Jesus of Nazareth. So let's see where we get that from. If you can cast your eyes into your Bible, verses 43 through to 46. The next day, Jesus decided to go to Galilee. He found Philip and said to him, "Follow me." Now, Philip was from Bethsaida, the city of Andrew and Peter. Philip found Nathanael and said to him, "We have found him of whom Moses in the law and also the prophets wrote, Jesus of Nazareth, the son of Joseph." Nathanael said to him, "Can anything good come out of Nazareth?" Philip said to him, "Come and see." So the next day, Jesus decides to go to Galilee. And just as I mentioned there, the next day is the fifth day of the first week of Jesus' ministry. And very quickly, Jesus is in recruitment mode. He is pulling his team together that will go on his mission to the cross. And whenever we encounter, whenever it's documented within scriptures, the list of apostles, we always have Philip as apostle number five. And then always after Philip, we have Nathanael. And sometimes Nathanael is also referenced as Bartholomew. So we get Philip, apostle number five, and Nathanael is apostle number six. So what does Philip say Jesus is, or how does Philip describe Jesus? Verse 45. Philip found Nathanael and said to him, "We have found him of whom Moses in the law and also the prophets wrote, Jesus of Nazareth, the son of Joseph." Philip found Nathanael and said to him these words. Philip knew his Old Testament. And Philip knew Nathanael knew his Old Testament as well. So he declares, "I have met the one that the Old Testament is pointing to." Second question of this evening, do we know our Old Testament? Do we know the scriptures? Not just the Gospels, not just the nice books of the New Testament that are easy to read in maybe a day or two. Do we know our Old Testament scriptures? Are you like me? At times it is a real struggle to open up God's word, particularly into the Old Testament. But like me, we need to remind ourselves that the whole of scripture is pointing to Jesus. Old Testament pointing to Jesus, the Gospels pointing at Jesus, and the rest of the New Testament pointing back to Jesus. And Jesus himself plainly says it in Matthew 5, verse 17, which many have said that could be described as the key to unlocking the Sermon on the Mount. Matthew 5, 17 says this. This is Jesus saying, "Do not think that I have come to abolish the law or the prophets. I have not come to abolish them, but to fulfill them." So to put it another way, to understand Jesus' teaching, we must grasp the Old Testament. And Philip gets this. He gets that he has encountered the one who the Old Testament scriptures witness about. And then he does something absolutely brilliant. He goes and tells Nathanael. So what is so encouraging to read in these verses is how quickly evangelism is taking place. Already within the first week of Jesus' public ministry, we have the first instance of a disciple of Jesus sharing the good news of Jesus, resulting in more disciples of Jesus. Philip was told plainly by Jesus to follow me. And then Apostle John says and points out how Philip then goes and finds Nathanael. And it's in this simplicity that he, being Philip, invited him, Nathanael, to go see for himself. And I love how there wasn't argument, there wasn't a debate. It was simply put, I have found the one. What does Jesus mean to Andrew and Peter? The exact same thing that he is, who the Old Testament is talking about. Come and see. Are we encouraged this evening by that? That's as easy as it gets. Come and see. Do we have Nathanaels in our lives where we can simply say to our friends, our colleagues, our family members, come and see. Come and see Hunter House Cafe. Come and see the holiday club that we put on. Come and see our children's and youth ministries. Come and see the job club. Come and see our Sunday services. Or simply, would you like to read the Bible? Doesn't get any more simple than that. One reason that we might struggle with this is because we might have already assumed that the Nathanaels in our lives will say no. But then that takes us on to the second description or the second title of Jesus. Verses 47 through to 49. Cast your eyes over them. Verse 47 says, Jesus saw Nathanael coming toward him and said of him, Behold, an Israelite indeed, in whom there is no deceit. Nathanael said to him, How do you know me? Jesus answered him, Before Philip called you, when you were under the fig tree, I saw you. Nathanael answered him, Rabbi, you are the Son of God. You are the King of Israel. So isn't it interesting how opposite the responses are for Nathanael when he's chatting to Philip, and then when he's speaking to Jesus? Back in verse 46, Nathanael says to Philip, Can anything good come out of Nazareth? In other words, you're telling me that the Messiah is from Nazareth? No chance. That's Nathanael's mindset. In Nathanael's mind, the two words Messiah and Nazareth are self-contradictory. For us, it's probably, think about it, Scotland and World Cup qualification. That's kind of where we're at. Or to put it another way, maybe England and World Cup winners. That's where I think Nathanael is kind of getting at. The two words just don't go together, Messiah and Nazareth. But then everything changes. The encounter with Jesus takes place. Jesus declares that Nathanael is an Israelite indeed, in whom there is no deceit. In other words, there is one who is like the forefather, Isaac, and there's nothing like him of Jacob. Jacob being known throughout the generations of God's people as a deceiver of his father's blessing. So Nathanael isn't a deceiver. He is all of Isaac. And he is none of Jacob. And Nathanael then proceeds to say who Jesus is. After Jesus displays a supernatural knowledge of foreseeing him under the fig tree, this allows Nathanael to connect the dots of Jesus being both the Son of God and the King of Israel. Nathanael now knows that Philip was right. Jesus is the Messiah. So throughout the course of this week, we've had, as we've said, the Children's Holiday Club. We also had our first Youth Holiday Club for high school young people. And over the course of four evenings, we looked at the question of who is Jesus? And on Tuesday night, we looked at Peter's confession of Jesus being the Christ, the Son of God. And as I was explaining to the group that I had, something clicks for Peter in the same way that something clicks with Nathaniel in our passage here this evening. And the best way that I could sum it up was saying that both Nathaniel and Peter had a penny dropping moment. You know, when the penny drops, when something clicks. And I was explaining that it's not so much it was what Peter did for himself that he got it. It was God's heavenly penny that dropped all the way from heaven right into the heart and mind of both Peter and for Nathaniel. So for Nathaniel, he was face to face with Jesus. But for ourselves, we can't have that same connection. We can't see Jesus physically face to face the same way that both Peter and Nathaniel and the other disciples had. But there's still hope for us. So for many in this room, it might have took a long, long time for that heavenly penny to drop. Or it might have been quite dramatic. It might have been quite quick. But have we connected the dots? That was our hope as we did our youth holiday club. We were hoping that the young people would connect the dots of the prophecies of Jesus, of the miracles of Jesus, of the sayings that Jesus gave himself. And then we left them with the question, who is Jesus? Or what do you then do with Jesus? The Son of God title has Old Testament written all over it. Psalm 2, verse 7, and 2 Samuel 7:14 being the most obvious for a Jewish follower to recall. The Son of God title will be used throughout John's Gospel. And it's this title that the religious leaders cannot tolerate. As the Gospel goes on, it's that phrase that fires up the anger and the hatred and the wrath of the religious leaders towards Jesus. And John Piper says this about the Son of God title in John's Gospel. The greater the title Son of God became in Jesus' life, the more it carried him to his death. Right away, John is stating that Jesus is exactly who Nathanael says he is, the Son of God, and that will come up again and again in the Gospel. The greater the title of the Son of God became in Jesus' life, the more it carried him to his death. And this is the first time that we hear it in the Gospel. For Nathanael to also give Jesus the title of King of Israel is also very clear. Nathanael describes Jesus using a term which indicates the closest possible relationship to God. By acknowledging Jesus as king, and remember Jesus first identified Nathanael as an Israelite, so it would make sense if Nathanael is an Israelite, then he would be submissive to Jesus and rightly call him king. He's instantly displaying submission to Jesus. The only other times the King of Israel title is used in the Gospels are in John chapter 12, when Jesus is entering the city of Jerusalem as what we would call Palm Sunday. And then in the other three Gospels, the phrase is used when Jesus is on the cross, and it's used to mock him, King of Israel. So fast forward now into 2022 with that in mind. Isn't it true today? Isn't it the same situation? We have the same name of Jesus being mocked and misunderstood. But yet God is still revealing his truth to those he calls into his adopted family. If you haven't heard Cal's testimony, Cal being one of the associate pastors here and also at Bells Hill, Cal's got a brilliant part of his testimony. And me and Cal were at the same year in school, but we weren't friends. And it was so funny, I still remember the day when a fellow Christian told me that Cal became a Christian. And she was trying to describe him, and I was like, who are you talking about? And she was like, do you know Cal Morrison? And I'm like, yeah, I don't know. Anyway, she went on to describe who he was, and I couldn't believe it. I actually couldn't believe it, because he was the guy in school who I just didn't, we weren't in the same circles, put it that way. That's the nicest way I can put it. But Cal's got this brilliant part of his testimony where he says he used to walk by the old Breveland Church down the village from John 14, verse 6, and it says, and in big writing on the actual building, on the outside of the building, it says, Jesus says, I am the way. And Cal describes that he used to walk by that church and mock it. But then Cal, later on in his life, had his encounter with Jesus. And then Cal's got this brilliant bit in his testimony where he then discovers that he himself is a visitor to that same church that he used to mock. And he was explaining to an older guy that he can't believe that he's sitting in church now. And it was the same church that he used to mock. I love that. It's a real encouragement to think that God would call anyone. We should not put our own barriers of who we think should be in coming into God's family. Even those who we think in our eyes seem the furthest away, God will still save. We must be praying for these folks. It's exactly what Thomas said 25 minutes ago. We need to keep praying for our community. We need to keep praying for our friends, our families, and our those in our communities. It's like Philip's presence displays almost prejudice. Sorry, Nathaniel's prejudice towards the Nazareth. So quickly it dissolves when he has that encounter. Did you see how Nathaniel describes the Nazarenes? Can anything good come out of Nazareth? That is his opinion. It's almost, as I say, it's almost prejudice towards that town, those people, those folks. But as soon as he's in the presence of Jesus, as soon as he has his encounter with Jesus, all that is gone. So God will work in the lives of the people who we might think are too far away. That gives me so much joy, so much excitement. So then let's move on finally to Jesus. Who does Jesus say he is? Verses 50 and 51. Jesus answered him, "Because I said to you, I saw you under the fig tree, do you believe me? You will see greater things than these." And he said to him, "Truly, truly, I say to you, you will see heaven opened and the angels of God ascending and descending on the Son of Man." So again, we find ourselves going back into the New Testament stories. And where have we heard this one before? So it's back in Genesis 28, verses 10 and 12. This is what it says. "Jacob left Beersheba and headed towards Haran. And he came to a certain place and stayed there that night because the sun had set. And taking one of the stones of the place, he put it under his head and lay down in that place to sleep. And he dreamed, and behold, there was a ladder set on it on the earth, and on the top of it, it reached heaven. And behold, the angels of God were ascending and descending on it." So back in the Old Testament, we have Jacob's dream of a ladder, an object lesson for him to see God working out his plan of redemption. And then Jacob says in Genesis 28, verse 17, "And he was afraid and he said, 'How awesome is this place? There is none other than the house of God. And this is the gate of heaven.'" So Jacob's dream has resulted in him declaring that this is the house of God and this is the gate of heaven. But now we have Jesus telling Nathanael and the first disciples that he is replacing the ladder. And he is now the gate. John 10, verse 7. But not only is Jesus the gate, he is also the way, the truth, and the life. John 14. That's the same message that old church had down the village. The image of a ladder is tied to both these titles of Jesus. Son of God, the heavenly title. Place that at the top of the ladder. And then Nathanael declares that Jesus is the Son of God. And then Jesus, who has descended to earth, and he's now starting his mission of redemption, he calls himself Son of Man. Both titles give the same picture of a ladder. God up in heaven, mankind down in earth. And Jesus is the only way to right relationship. We get access to the Father through Jesus, who is himself God. And then to confirm that he is what he's saying is true, Jesus uses this phrase, "truly, truly," to show his authority. And it's actually translated from a Hebrew word, which we would understand as amen. But when Jesus speaks, his amens he amends his own saying. So what do we do with that? It confirms his certainty and trustworthiness of what he says and by doing what he's proclaiming. Jesus has unique authority, and he says this in the way that he speaks. We have Jesus in this passage recruiting Philip and Nathanael onto his team. And we sang about this during the holiday club. We wanted the children to be in wonder of the created order. And we wanted them to connect the dots that are all around the hall to discover that Jesus is God's Son, and he is our Savior, and he is a gateway to a restored relationship with God. At Youth Hall, the club, we presented the prophecies of Jesus, the miracles of Jesus, the sayings of Jesus, and we left the young people with the ultimate question of, who is Jesus? And then we tapped into the teaching resources that we used. We tapped into C.S. Lewis' famous saying during a BBC radio interview when he considered, who is Jesus? C.S. Lewis basically says, you're left with three options. He's either a liar, a lunatic, or he is Lord. Philip said, and with this we draw to a close, Philip said to Nathanael, simply, come and see. And Jesus says to each one of us, follow me. So we've already noted that the Apostle John will go on to quote Jesus in chapter 14 when he says, Jesus says, I am the way, the truth, and the life. If you don't know that truth this evening, then I would plead with you to ask somebody, whoever it is you came with, ask somebody the question. Or if you have brought somebody, do what Philip did and say, come and see. Jesus puts it simply, follow me. So the question that we finish with, who is Jesus? If you don't know the answer to that question, please speak to somebody. This could be your encounter tonight with Jesus. We were praying as a team at the start of the week that this week would be a life-changing week for our young people, for our children. Tonight could be a life-changing night for you. And if you have Jesus as your Savior, if you know the living Jesus, then we have simply just said, amen, the same way that Jesus says, amen. We are putting our trust in his authority. We know Jesus is the way. We know Jesus is the truth. And we know Jesus is the life. And all we have to do is say, amen. Let's pray. Father God, we thank you for Jesus. Lord, we thank you for your Son. Lord, we thank you that Jesus descended to earth. Lord God, he had a mission. That mission was the cross. And Father, it's our sin that put Jesus on the cross. But Father, thank you for Jesus recruiting his disciples. Father, we thank you for this encounter that both Nathanael and Philip had with your Son. Father, help us to encourage others to come and see. Father, help us to show people the words of Jesus, to follow him. Lord, if we are apprehensive, if we are worried, if we are scared, Father, would you dissolve those feelings away? Lord, help us to live for you. Help us to shine for you. Help us to evangelize and help us to disciple. We ask this in Jesus' name. Amen.